Welcome to Your Strata Property, the podcast for property owners looking for reliable, accurate, and bite-sized information from an experienced and authoritative source. To access previous episodes and useful strata tips, go to www.yourstrataproperty.com.au.
Hello and welcome. I'm Amanda Farmer and this is Your Strata Property. Brent Clark is the CEO of WattBlock, an energy efficiency startup focused on residential strata buildings. WattBlock, which Brent co-founded with data scientist Ross McIntyre, is backed by Telstra's Muru D Accelerator and has assisted over 1,000 strata buildings across Australia in the past 2 years. Brent previously worked in technology innovation for Commonwealth Bank and three prior startup companies, one of which was sold for $73 million. He has launched products into 30 countries, has degrees in computer science, law, and an MBA. Today, I am absolutely delighted to welcome Brent Clark from WattBlock. Welcome, Brent.
Thanks, Amanda. Great to be here.
It is lovely to be in your esteemed company, finally. I've had a few guests on the show now drop your name and recommend you to me and recommend WattBlock. And I will confess to my listeners that I did stalk you on LinkedIn for some time and finally secured your attendance. So thank you very much for making the time.
It's a pleasure.
Now, I want to start by asking you, Brent, why is energy usage such a critical issue for people living in strata?
Well, you know, we've had this energy crisis in Australia, and energy prices have doubled in the last 7 years. And then we have the gas debacle on top of the high electricity prices from the poles and wire debacle. So we ended up getting, if not the highest electricity price in the world, maybe the second highest in the OECD. So if you look at a strata building, what are they spending money on? After building defects, utilities are pretty much up there as their biggest ongoing expense.
Yeah, it's all about the money, isn't it? And I think where strata buildings can save some money and think about using that money to add value elsewhere, you can see big changes in communities and big improvements. So it's always a good idea to look at utilities, I think, as a first step towards finding some room in the budget.
Yeah, and not only that, what I think people didn't realise is there's such a strong connection between utility costs of a strata building and the property valuations. So, you know, green buildings, if they're marketed as such, you can get up to 9% property valuation uplift on your individual apartment.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So, I mean, part of it is communal green roofs, but that solar panel array that you might have on the roof.
Yep.
And in the future, the batteries, the electric vehicle recharging systems in the basement car park, these are all going to add value to strata properties.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what does a good energy policy or strategy look like for a strata building? And I think you've just named a few things there that buildings can be doing. Anything else to add to that list that you'd recommend for strata buildings?
Yeah, look, before you get into the exciting stuff, the solar and the batteries and the electric vehicles, something really basic is just to get your strata manager to put a line item in your accounts for energy and sustainability. Then people are actually conscious of it. They're seeing it in the financials of the building. And, you know, from there, other things you can do, you can get an algorithmic energy assessment done for your building, a remote one. You can call in an energy auditor for a full-scale energy audit. And then it should be something that, like, you're revisiting at each executive committee, or we should say strata committee meeting now, throughout the year. So what we think will be happening is while energy prices stay high, we'll have things like the video screens in the lift start to appear that has the real-time energy consumption of the building.
Really interesting. You mentioned there assessments and audits. I think it was Cameron Knox from Allume when I had him on the show. He might have mentioned that that is part of what WattBlock does, and he had recommended you guys for those kinds of assessments and audits. Can you share with our listeners what's involved in a practical sense in one of those assessments or audits?
Yeah, so most strata committees don't like to pay a lot of consultancy fees, and that means they don't end up getting the best advice. So using, you know, the skills of my co-founder, Ross McIntyre, as a data scientist, we tried to go back to the drawing board, because a lot of these strata blocks are actually quite similar to each other,
mm-hmm.
and you don't need to reinvent the wheel to get an energy assessment out in each block. So we started looking at what are the key factors driving energy consumption in the blocks, and it can come up with, you know, an algorithmic assessment. Using Google Earth, you can look at the roof of the strata building, see how much space there is for solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
And, we developed something that's like, a 7-page energy assessment that can be delivered for like $500 to the
yep.
building, which is within the budget of most strata schemes.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a really good first step for strata schemes. And no doubt the recommendations that then come out of that report are going to be saving you thousands. It's a big return on your $500.
Yeah. Look, we've done one of those assessments for a building that spends now $800,000 on common area energy each year.
Wow.
So, yeah, you can see that virtually every strata can afford something like this.
Yep.
And it's just the visibility gets people moving in the right direction.
Mm. Now, I said earlier, Brent, that WhatBlock is helping over 1,000 strata buildings across Australia, and you've achieved that amazing number just within 2 years. Have you got a story to share with us about a particular building or a group of buildings who have worked with WhatBlock and the heights that they've been able to achieve?
Look, we've worked with some spectacular properties across Australia, like truly spectacular ones. But, while I could talk about the solar panels we put on Sanctuary Cove or, a big LED lighting upgrade in the largest strata in Australia, I like to take something, nice and suburban. And down in Manly, a place close to the beach in Sydney that I really like, there was a strata block, just 16 apartments, and can you imagine the common area electricity and gas was $32,000?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that makes me want to be sick.
Yeah.
Something going on there.
And so if I just look at the journey that we walked on with that building down at East Esplanade there, they've halved their energy consumption. And now that means that, they've got more money in the sinking fund to, start other improvements around the buildings.
Mm.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not unreasonable. If you took a block of, say, 40 units out in the suburbs, built in the last 10, 15 years, the sort of things that over a period of 5 years you could finance from energy saving would be repainting the outside of the building, recarpet the common areas,
yep.
put in some new paling fences and gates, maybe, a security camera system to increase the security. And those are the tangible benefits of having done your energy saving. It's just free cash flow.
Mm. It kind of seems like a no-brainer, and they're all incredibly enticing ideas. But as we know, not every building is interested in putting in place some energy efficiency measures. What is this reluctance, if you like, amongst some buildings? Where does it come from? What are the problems that you think buildings are coming up against, and how do we solve them so that we can get more buildings into this energy efficiency mode?
Well, it's really just the tragedy of the commons played out in every strata building across Australia. It's really a visibility and awareness problem. If I walked to a building and said, you're currently getting like 1.25% interest on your sinking fund, how would you like to get like a 45% internal rate of return on your capital? Anyone who...
Where do I sign?
Yeah, exactly. It's really that simple. But energy efficiency is something people, it's not tangible, they can't see it. So because it's not tactile, I joked with a friend of mine from who was a Google innovationist at one point, if you could use augmented reality, hold up a mobile phone in front of a building and see a smokestack in augmented reality twirling off the top of the building that indicated the carbon emissions of that building, and you could then swivel the camera to the building next to it and compare it, you'd have something that would actually probably drive behaviour.
Yeah.
until that happens, and hopefully Wattblock will bring that to market. But
if anyone can, it's you, Brent.
Yeah. So until we get there, it requires a committee to work together. It's a human problem, and it's just a problem of committees, not just in strata. Committees are everywhere. I used to work at the Commonwealth Bank, and I sat through plenty of committee meetings internally there.
I suppose it's like anything in strata, it comes back to education, good information, good guidance, knowing where to go to get that information. And I suppose being able to look at that line item in your expenditure statement that says, we just spent $32,000 on electricity and we are a 16-lot scheme. That is not normal, not acceptable. So getting owners to engage in that process as a first step to say, well, what are we spending and how does that compare to other buildings our size, and realizing what is and isn't normal. In my mind, that's a good entry level perhaps to start getting engaged with some of these ideas.
Well, in about 2 or 3 months' time, December 2017, we'll see the launch of NABERS, a 6-star energy rating, let's call it environmental rating for apartment blocks. And that's going to start the behaviour change. It's worked in commercial buildings, hospitals, data centres, shopping centres, and now NABERS is coming to strata. Mm. And if you can imagine when you're buying a property on your favourite online property site, if you see, well, this is a 4.5-star rated sustainable building, that should start changing the property valuations at the time of purchase.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? It reminds me of the rating system that probably came in, gosh, when I was a kid on home appliances, and you see the water usage and the energy rating and see those stars and feel a bit chuffed that you had 4 or 5 stars as opposed to grandma who had 2.5. How dare she?
Yeah, exactly. It's so, you know, what we grew up with on the fridge is going to move its way onto your realestate.com.au and your domain websites.
I love that.
At the time of purchase. So, you know, if you had 2 identical buildings built by the same property developer and one of them's gone and done renewable energy, energy efficiency, and the other is still in its original state, you should be able to benchmark, and the value of the property should be different across the 2 side-by-side apartments, same floor, same locality.
Then we do start seeing some tangible impacts, don't we, on these policies, which is really great. Excellent. Now, if some of our listeners want to get started learning more about Wattblock or getting involved with energy efficiency generally, what do you suggest their first step should be today, Brent?
Well, we've got fantastic material at wattblock.com/publications.
Okay, and I'm just going to spell Wattblock for our listeners. It is WATTBLOCK.
Yep. Wattblock.com/publications. We've been working with 4 universities, UNSW, which I'm broadcasting from today, Griffith in Queensland, UQ, and Queensland University of Technology. And we've had about 40 students from those universities just looking and attacking the problem of energy waste in strata. And we've got a lot of that material that's come out of that research up on that site. Your local government is another great source of information. So, you know, particularly in major capital cities, City of Sydney, City of Melbourne have done great work in this area. There are a whole bunch of not-for-profits out there, like Moreland Energy Foundation, etc., who are helping in this space. Mm-hmm. And then just more generally, there's sort of industry publications like Renew Economy that you can subscribe to that are following this on a daily basis. What's happening? You know, when are the electric vehicles coming? When are the batteries coming? What's the next step in solar land? All that sort of thing.
Yep, fabulous. Thank you very much for directing us to those resources. I think going and checking out the Wattblock website and looking at what's been produced from the universities in the way of research is a really great place to start, and I highly recommend that myself. Personal question, Brent, what books have had the greatest impact on you and why?
Okay, well, a book that's really close to my heart is The Innovator's Dilemma by Clayton Christensen. Now, for those of you that don't know it, The Economist called it one of the top six business books of all time. And it's the book that coined the term disruptive innovation for the very first time. So these days it's hard to go to a conference or a seminar without hearing about disruptive innovation. But, you know, what's interesting is to go back and look at the chapter on electric vehicles that was written in 1997.
I was going to ask you when the book was written. Yeah.
When 20 years later, the comment in there is major automobile management teams should be worried about this disruptive effect of electric vehicles. And it only took 20 years, and here we are.
Yeah.
So it's a great book. The other takeaway from it is whenever you've got a new technology, it's actually going to have a poorer performance at the start than the thing it's replacing. And that's true with electric vehicles, the range anxiety when you've got to charge them up. There's not a gas station everywhere, or, you know, as Strata start to put in the batteries and things like that, there'll be an early adopter pain period.
Yep.
But after that, once every Strata building has become its own power plant with solar panels and batteries and it's sharing back into the grid, then people will just accept it as being something normal.
But, sort of one step back to take two steps forward, which is often the case with anything worthwhile.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Brent, we're about to wrap up, but how do listeners find out more about you, and is there anything else you want to add?
Well, as I said before, a really good place to start is whatblock.com. You know, people can reach out to us on Twitter, at whatblock. We're also, we've got a Facebook page, and you can find us on a few other social media sites. We've got a few YouTube videos up on our YouTube channel.
Great.
We've got a great monthly newsletter called Strata Energy News.
Okay, so, good to know.
Yeah, so you can register for that off whatblock.com. And for Strata managers out there, we've got a portal dedicated to the Strata managers to help them drive this through their portfolios. And to conclude, I'd just say, look, I was a chairperson of a Strata scheme for 3 years. That's how I first got into this space. And just looking at the opportunity moving forward for Strata schemes and Strata communities to work together on renewable energy, energy efficiency, electric vehicles, it's actually something that will help bring the communities together, and people get a great kick out of it. So happy for people to reach out, and my email is brent.clark@whatblock.com.au.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing all of that with us, Brent. I know that you have a lot on your plate and you are achieving great things and kicking goals, and I just really appreciate you taking the time to come and chat with us today and add all of that value. Do go and check out all of those resources that Brent has suggested, and hope to catch you next time on the show, maybe not in 20 years, maybe in a few more years, and we might look back and think, oh gosh, what were we talking about then? That's
Just hearing, you know, we're only a couple of months in from the announcement about the big Tesla battery storage project in South Australia. We've got an exciting energy future in Australia.
So, I'm looking forward to chatting with you about it again soon.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Amanda.
Thanks, Brent.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Your Strata Property, the podcast which consistently delivers to property owners reliable and accurate information about their strata property. You can access all the information below this episode via the show notes at www.yourstrataproperty.com.au. You can also ask questions in the comments section, which Amanda will answer in her upcoming episodes. How can Amanda help you today?